Just help it on its way. We just help it on its way. In spite of me, your music plays. I hear it ever present, ever true. And I just love to watch it grow. I just love to watch it grow. When I hear by chance, we join the dance without knowing. Steps without placing any bets, we risk it all.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Drop the achieving mind. That is the message that Osho is conveying to us in the discourse of today. We're gonna play a lot of vocal music from the world of Osho and some instrumental pieces composed by friends and lovers of Osho. This program is meant to be your 1 hour meditation. So, make yourself comfortable, relax, and just enjoy.
Thank you.
The discourse today is from the series Take It Easy, Volume 1, Number 5. You can choose in your life to live a natural life or to live an unnatural life. The natural is too easy because you are already it. You cannot even lose it. The unnatural, on the contrary, always attracts. Why is the unnatural life so appealing to us? Osho is explaining how this works, how the opposites always attract. To stay in the middle and watch all this happening, this is the way, Osho says, to be in your Buddha nature.
Through the silence, echoes. Men can live in two ways. The natural and the unnatural. The unnatural has great attraction in it because it is new, unfamiliar, adventurous. Hence, every child has to leave his nature and go into unnature. No child can resist that temptation. To resist that temptation is impossible. The paradise has to be lost. Losing of it is built in. It can't be avoided. It is inevitable. And of course, only man can lose it. That's man's ecstasy and agony, his privilege, his freedom, and his fall. Jean-Paul Sartre is right when he says, man is condemned to be free. Why condemned? Because with freedom, choice arises. The choice of being natural or being unnatural. When there is no freedom, there is no choice. Animals still exist in paradise. They never lose it. But because they never lose it, they can't be aware of it. They can't know where they are. To know where you are, you will have to lose it first. That's how knowing becomes possible, by losing. You know a thing only when you have lost it. If you have never lost it, if it has been always there, you naturally take it for granted. It becomes so obvious that you become oblivious to it. Trees are still in paradise, and the mountains, and the stars. But they don't know where they are. Only man can know. A tree can't become a Buddha. Not that there is any difference between the inner nature of a Buddha or a tree. But a tree can't become a Buddha. A tree is already a Buddha. To become a Buddha, the tree first had to lose its nature. It has to go away from it. You can see only things from a certain perspective. If you are too close to them, you cannot see them. What Buddha has seen, no tree has ever seen. It is available to trees and to animals. But only Buddha becomes conscious of it. The paradise is regained. Paradise is only when it is regained. Nature's beauties and mysteries are revealed only when you come back home. When you go against your nature, when you go farthest from yourself, only then one day the return journey starts. When you become thirsty for nature, when you start dying without it, you start returning. This is the original fall. Man's consciousness is his original fall, his original sin. But without the original sin, there is no possibility of a Buddha or a Christ. The first thing to be understood is, man can choose. He is the only animal in existence who can choose, who can do things which are not natural, who can do things which should not be done, who can go against himself and against God, who can destroy himself and all his bliss, who can create a hell. By creating hell, the contrast is created. And then one can see what heaven is. Only through the contrast, the possibility to know. So remember, there are two ways. One can live naturally or one can live unnaturally. When I say one can live naturally, I mean one can live without improving upon oneself in any way. One can live in trust. That's what nature is. One can live in spontaneity. One can live without being a doer. One can live in inaction. What Taoists call Wei Wu Wei. Action through inaction. Nature means you are not to do anything. It is already happening. The rivers are flowing. Not that they are doing something. And the trees are growing. Not that they have to worry about it. Not that they have to consult any guide for it. The trees are blooming. Not that they have to think and plan about the flowers. Of what color? Of what shape? It is all happening. The tree is blooming in 1,000 flowers without a single worry, without a single thought, without a single projection, without any blueprint. It is simply blooming. Just as fire is hot, the tree grows. It is natural. It is in the very nature of things. The seed becomes the sprout, and the sprout becomes the plant, and the plant becomes the tree, and the tree one day is full of foliage, and then another day the buds have started appearing, and the flowering, and the fruits, and all is simply happening. The child growing in mother's womb is not doing anything. He is in Wu Wei. But it is not that nothing is happening. In fact, so much is happening that never again in life so much will ever happen again. Those 9 months in the mother's womb contains so much happening that if you live 90 years, that much happening won't be contained by you. Millions of things are happening. The child is conceived only as an invisible cell. And then things start happening. Things start exploding. The child is not sitting there in that small cell like a little small man and thinking and planning and worrying and suffering from insomnia. There is nobody. To understand this is to understand Buddha. That things can happen without your ever being worried about them. Things have already been happening. And even when you become a doer, you become doer on the surface. Deep down, things go on happening. When you are fast asleep, do you think you are trying to breathe? It is happening. If man had to breathe, had to remain constantly aware to breathe, nobody will ever be able to live. not even for a single day. One moment and you have forgotten and it is gone. You forget to breathe in and you are finished. And how you will go to sleep then? You will have constantly alert. You will have to wake yourself up many times in the night to see whether you are still breathing or not. And you eat food and then you forget all about it. And millions of things are happening. The food is being digested, broken, destroyed, changed, transformed chemically. It will become your blood, your bones, your marrow. Great work goes on. The blood is circulating continuously, throwing all the dead cells out of the body. How much is going within you without your doing at all? Doing remains on the surface. Man can live on the surface in an artificial way. But deep down in the innermost core, you are always natural. Your artificiality becomes simply a layer upon your nature. But the layer thickens every day. More thoughts, more plans, more activity, more doing, more of the doer, the ego. And a crust grows. And that is the crust Buddha calls samsara, the world. The phenomenon of the doer, of the ego. This is losing nature, going against nature, going away from nature. One day you have gone so far that you start feeling suffocated. You have gone so far that schizophrenia arises in your being. Your circumference starts falling apart from the center. That is the point of conversion. The point when religion becomes relevant. The point when you start searching a way out. The point where you start thinking, who am I? The point where you start looking back, from where I am coming, what is my original face? What is my nature? I have gone too far. And now it is time to go back. One step more and I will fall apart. I have broken all the links, only a small bridge has remained. All neurosis is nothing but this. That's why psychology itself cannot cure neurosis. It can give you beautiful explanations about it. It can satisfy you, console you, solace you. It can teach you how to live with your neurosis. It can help you not to worry too much about it. It can give you a pattern of life in which neurosis can also exist and you can also exist. It can teach you a kind of coexistence. But it cannot dissolve it. Only religion can dissolve it. And unless psychology takes a quantum leap and becomes religion, it will remain partial. Why religion can cure the neurosis? Why religion can cure schizophrenia? Because it can make you one whole. The circumference is no more against the center. They are holding hands. They are embracing each other. They are one. They function in one rhythm. They vibrate as one vibration. That is real health and wholeness and holiness. That's where Buddhahood arises. A man has become sane again. Unless you are a Buddha, you will remain insane, more or less. Insanity is bound to remain a part of your being. You can manage to live with it somehow, but it is going to be just somehow. It is a management. You cannot relax about it. Have you not observed everybody is afraid of going mad? Keeps oneself in control, but the fear is always there if something goes wrong. If one thing more goes wrong, then I may not be able to control myself any longer. Everybody is on the verge of it. People are just near about 99%. 1% more. Any small thing. The last istra on the camel. The bank fails. Your woman leaves and escapes with somebody else. The business dwindles. And you are no more sane. All sanity gone. It must have been just a facet, that sanity that goes so easily. It must have been very thin, fragile. In fact, it was not there. The change between the ordinary man and the insane is only of quantity, not of quality. Unless you become a Buddha or a Christ or a Krishna, these are all the names of the same state of consciousness where center and circumference function in a dance. In a symphony. Unless that symphony arises, you will remain phony. You will remain false. You will remain arbitrary. You will not have really a soul. And not that you cannot have it. It is always yours. It is just for the asking. And you will have it. Jesus says, knock and the doors shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Just for the asking. And you will get it. But there is great attraction in the unnatural. Because the unnatural is aligned. The unnatural is opposite to you. And the opposite always attracts. The opposite always intrigues. The opposite always is there as a challenge. You would like to know. That's why a man becomes interested in a woman. A woman becomes interested in a man. That's how people become interested and attracted into each other. The opposites. And the same follows deep down. Your natural being seems to be already yours. So what is the point of getting hold of it, of being it? One wants something new. And that which you have, you lose all interest in it. That's why you are missing God, because God you already have. And you cannot be interested in Him. You are interested in the world, in money, in power, in prestige. Those things you don't have. God is already given. God means nature. Who bothers about the nature? Why think about it? When in the first place you already have it, we are interested into that which we don't have. And the unnatural attracts. And one becomes focused on the unnatural and the artificial. And one rushes into it from one unnatural style of life into another unnatural style of life. And remember, the so-called worldly people are not only unnatural, the so-called religious are also unnatural. And that is the great understanding that Buddha brings to the world. And that understanding has become a ripe fruit in Zen. That is the fundamental contribution of Buddha. A man remains artificial in the so-called world, earning money, power, prestige. And then one day he becomes religious, but again he is moving into another kind of unnaturalness. Now he practices yoga. He stands on his head. All stuff and nonsense. What are you doing there standing on your head? Can't you stand on your feet? But to stand on your feet seems so natural. It has no attraction. When you see somebody standing on his head, you think, yes, he is doing something. Here is a man. And you are attracted. And he must be gaining something that you have not known yet. And you would also like to practice it. People start doing all kinds of stupid things. But those are all, again, the same. The pattern is the same. The gestalt is the same. The change is very slight. The quality is the same. You were earning money, now you are more interested in heaven, the next life. You were interested what people think about you, now you are interested what God thinks about you. You were interested to make a beautiful house here, now you are interested to make a beautiful house in paradise in the other world. You were being unnatural, you were eating too much, now you start fasting. Just see how one changes from one unnatural attitude to another unnatural attitude. You were eating too much, you were obsessed with eating, you were continuously stuffing yourself. Then one day, you are fed up with this. Literally fed up with this. So you start fasting. Now again, a thrill arises in you. Now again, you can hope something is going to happen. And you can go to the extreme of fasting, which is as against nature as eating too much. To be natural is just in the middle. Buddha has called his way the middle way. Because the natural exists just exactly in the middle of opposite extremes. You have been chasing women your whole life. And then one day, you decide to become a celibate and move to a Catholic monastery. Or become a Hindu monk and go to the Himalayas. Now this is the same person who was continuously chasing women. Now he is tired of it. Now he wants to drop absolutely. Now he wants to move in the opposite direction. He escapes into a monastery. Now he enforces celibacy on himself, which is as much unnatural as the first attitude. But one unnaturality leads into another, and one can go on in circles. Beware of it. To be natural has no appeal, because to be natural means your ego will not be satisfied in any way. And Buddha is preaching only one single thing: to be ordinary, to be nobody, to be natural. The natural man is the enlightened man. To be natural is to be enlightened. to be as natural as animals and trees and stars. To have no imposition upon oneself. To have no idea how one should be is to be enlightened. Enlightenment is a state of being natural. It is not something like an achievement. When you think of enlightenment, you always think of it as an achievement. People come to me and they ask, Bhagwan, how we are going to achieve enlightenment? It is not a state of achievement. Because whatsoever you achieve or you can achieve will be artificial. The natural need not be achieved. It is already there. It has never been otherwise. You are not to achieve it. You are simply to drop that achieving mind. You have to relax into it. It is available. From the very beginning, it is available. Relax into it. An enlightened person is not somebody who has reached to the pinnacle, who has reached to the topmost rung of the ladder. You are all ladder climbers. You need a ladder. It may be in the marketplace or in the monastery, makes no difference, but you need a ladder. You carry your ladders with yourself. Wherever you can find a place, you simply fix your ladder and you start climbing. And nobody asks, where are you going? Where this ladder is going to lead you? But after one rung, there is another rung. And you are curious. Maybe something is there. So you go one step more. Another rung is waiting for you. And you become curious. And you start moving. That's how people move in the world of money. That's how people move in the world of politics. And not only that, you have to move, because on the same ladder many people are going. So you have to push others. You have to pull their legs. You have to make place for yourself. You have to make a space for yourself. You have to be aggressive. You have to be violent. And when there is so much violence and so many people fighting, who bothers? Where are you going? People must be going somewhere when so many people are interested. And if you become too much of a thinker, you will lose the race. So there is no time to think about it, to think what is the point of it all. Thinkers are losers. So one has not to think, one has just to rush and go on rushing. And the ladder is non-ending. Rung upon rung, rung upon rung. The mind can go on projecting new rungs. And when you move into a monastery, the same continues. Now a spiritual hierarchy. And you start moving in the hierarchy. And you become very serious, and the same competitiveness comes in. This is just ego game. And ego can play its game only in the artificial. Wherever you see a ladder, beware. You are in the same trap. Enlightenment is not the last rung of a ladder. Enlightenment is getting down from the ladder, getting down forever, and never asking for any ladder again. Becoming natural. I have to use the word becoming, which is not true. It should not be used. But that's how language is. It is made by those ladder climbers. You cannot become natural. Because whatsoever you become will be unnatural. Becoming is unnatural. Being is natural. So forgive me. I have to use the language. The same language. Which is not meant to be used for something which is natural. So you have to understand it. Don't be caught by words. When I say become natural, I'm simply saying stop becoming and fall, relax into being. You are already there.
Thank you.
This was Osho Radio for today. We hope you enjoyed the program. Before the discourse, we played music by Miten, instrumental music from the time Osho was in America in Rajneeshpuram, and a song by Milarepa called The Laughter of the Buddhas. After the discourse, you heard the Santor played by Manish Vijas, flute music by Pushkar, and we're going to finish with a wonderful song, Full of Longing, sung by Disha. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. We hope you're going to be with us again next time. Namaste. You wait.
disappearing.